This Saturday at 7:30 at the Palace in Albany, the Albany Symphony will present an all-Scottish program featuring Mendelssohn's Symphony No. 3, Sir Peter Maxwell Davies' An Orkney Wedding, with Sunrise and the U.S. premiere of Julia Woolf's Rise and Fly Concerto, written specially for percussionist Colin Curry. Wouldn't it be great if Colin Curry, Julia Woolf, and the maestro of the Albany Symphony Orchestra, David Alan Miller, were all here to tell us about that performance?
It would be wonderful.
It would be wonderful.
Yes.
I'm pleased to tell you, it is a reality. Let me officially welcome Albany Symphony maestro, conductor, and all-around good guy, David Alan Miller, is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe. It's so nice to be here with my two old friends.
Aforementioned composer and co-founder of Bang on a Can, Julia Woolf, who has been with us before, and it's a delight to have her back.
Great to be here.
Always nice to speak with you. And solo and chamber percussionist Colin Curry is here, and if you... a delight to have you here. Thank you very much.
Great to be here. Love being in Normandy, as always.
And there's you're the
genuine article.
Yeah, so I was going to say, well,
I'm the Scot in this.
Yeah,
table.
We brought an actual Scot for show and tell.
We're the rest of us are just wannabes.
We're wannabes.
I was looking at the there's a picture. There's an ad on the back of Metroland. There's a full page ad on the back of Metroland, and it has Colin's picture on it. And you're like playing your chest as percussion. Wait, do you really do that? Or
I really do that, and there's a lot of that in this piece. This is predominantly, Rise and Fly, this concerto, is predominantly a piece in which I perform on the instrument that is my own body. So it's a body percussion piece.
So it's very exciting and only occasionally painful to watch, because he really whacks his chest a lot. I hope he doesn't have bad bruises, but it's fantastic. It's all based, well, Julie, you tell us. It's based on American urban ideas, right?
By the way, maybe the first time we've heard the term whack his chest on the program.
Whack his chest. Well, I'm glad I got chest in there. That's good.
Yeah, yes, and I'm glad we can contribute to new music terminology. Yeah, I mean, as David said, there's an urban sensibility to it. I think it's, in a way, it's kind of an urban folk music. So I've had a long time love affair with American folk music and music from Appalachia and sort of accessing some of that sensibility. But in this case, it starts in some ways from that tradition because, of course, body percussion is... It's from the woods. It's from, you know, it's part of American folk music. But then it winds its way and finds itself in urban settings like subways in New York City and streets in New York City, which is where I live. And so there's a kind of hip-hop transformation to it as well.
So bang on a can, bang in your chest.
Right.
I think he's got a can, too. So
he has a lot of can. And actually, I should mention that the piece is sort of in two parts with this fantastic extended cadenza in the middle that Colin plays on his body entirely. And then he goes over to this assortment of, like, trash cans and oven racks and things. And it's inspired by those incredible, what do you call them, the subway percussion guys who just found instruments and do incredible percussion on them, right?
Mm-hmm. Now... If I'm, and then Colin will actually let you speak. Julia, you...
And hopefully with a thick Scottish brogue.
I'm putting one up.
you did this with Colin in mind, right?
It was
always Colin in mind smashing himself.
Yeah, and why did I do that to him? Because when he called me and said, I'd love to work together, let's develop some ideas about how we might do that. At first I thought it would be great to move it into the orchestra world, just get that big sound of a full orchestra behind him. But I wanted to give him something that he hadn't already done. He's done a lot. And so how could I take that incredible virtuosity and strength, but refresh it and bring it into a new area? So he's amazing just in the sense that he took on this whole new skill set. I mean, just to learn. It's one thing to have the counting ability and the dexterity, but to actually start to coordinate it with finger snapping and chest hitting, it's a task.
And it's a virtuosic tour de force. I mean, you have to just come see it to see Colin do this thing, and it's unbelievable. I mean, the rest of the concert is beautiful and warm and delicious for the season. You know, Scottish warm, wonderful Scottish music for a cold winter's day. But to see Colin do this thing is unbelievable.
So, Colin, let me ask you the question. So, Julia was mentioning about the American folk tradition of this piece, as well as the urban style of it. Is there anything inherently Scottish about it? Other than the performer?
No, just Colin. He's
certainly,
the only,
certainly myself. I think this is very definitely an American piece. And that's been very interesting for me as well. And the other thing that I would shore up was what Julie said, is that it's a piece that gave me a chance as a performer to look at an entirely different way of playing percussion, and I was incredibly grateful for that. I didn't know anything about body percussion when I got into this piece, and it actually was a piece that made me quite nervous. How am I going to learn these wonderful patterns that she wrote for me? And she wrote it incredibly well. The piece is all notated. There's no improvising in the piece, but it's something that sounds, I hope, very natural and improvisatory. But it is a piece that she constructed for me, and it works beautifully. And it is quite a shocking piece. I've played it for audiences in London and Switzerland recently, and people are usually absolutely spellbound. But it's a captivating piece that is really an adventure.
And what's exciting about doing the U.S. premiere, I mean, Julie even very graciously said this, that like the English performance was beautiful, but a little more buttoned down, whereas understanding these kind of hip-hop and almost jazz gestures, and there's this wonderful quote that she uses from a chain gang song that Alan Lomax collected, that the trombones sort of wail through the middle of the piece. And, you know, we being an American orchestra, I think, can do it more idiomatically, perhaps, than a non-American orchestra, just like I can't imitate Colin's beautiful Scottish brogue very well.
That's pretty good.
That's good. But he does do it better.
I wanted to say, actually, there was a rumor that got going that I'm afraid I'm guilty of
perpetuating
that Colin was going to do this piece shirtless, because at a certain point early on in the genesis of the piece, Julie must have said something or printed something about how he plays on his torso and he does it shirtless. So we've been saying all year, come see Colin Curry shirtless, because, you know, Colin is a very handsome man. For those of you out in radio land, you may not know that, but it turns out that we were wrong, and in fact he does stay dressed for the entire piece. But he has promised,
now,
if anybody wants their money back because they don't get to see him topless, he will recite Robert Burns poetry to anybody after the performance who feels disappointed and wants a sort of, you know, consolation prize.
And will he do that shirtless?
I don't know about the shirtless.
Shirtless Robbie Burns.
We got the shirtless part covered, because the first piece has this big bagpipe solo in it. This wonderful bagpiper is with us. And he is going to be playing in kilt, but as he claims the Scottish Highlanders do, shirtless. So you will get a shirtless man. He's not quite as, I shouldn't say he's not quite as gorgeous as Colin, because that's not nice to him.
They're all gorgeous.
There's shirtless music, and there's body percussion, and there's the whole incredible
and Robbie Burns
panoply,
consolations.
And a genuine Scottish person.
How
it
does
couldn't
that
be better
become
than
a
this.
Thing? That's great.
It got going. It got going a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's good.
I just want to clarify, because I don't want anybody, you know, demanding their money back because Colin isn't shirtless.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, because I was going to ask you about what you wear, because it would seem to me like right now you're in a hoodie, so that would have some impact on the sound that we would hear if you were to do that now, right?
And on the bruises after the piece.
That's right. Yeah, the hoodie would be quite muffled, and what I wear for this piece is jeans and a t-shirt and boots. And the boots are important because there's also foot percussion in the piece, where I have to stamp the stage and stomp and make these very loud, important, heavy gestures, if you like. And the jeans give me this, I hope, kind of slightly blue-collar aesthetic.
Tough guy.
Yeah, I'm a tough guy. All right, tough guy, you. What
it's like,
is Unchained?
It's like beatboxing taken to the nth degree, if you've seen guys on the street in New York City. It's amazing. It's like a whole beatbox concerto.
Now, now that you brought this up,
where does Mendelssohn fit into all this? Is that what you want to ask?
No, I don't.
I'm not even going to try that.
I don't even care about Mendelssohn.
That's on the second half.
My question is the reason you can't, I assume the reason you can't or wouldn't do a shirtless, two reasons. One being that it would also change the sound in some way, right? Because it would be more slapping. And two, who wants to see you all, like, you know, rashed up?
Yeah, he wants to see that. No, we agreed after the brief and now rather fatal shirtless discussion that it would be a t-shirt. And that does give the right kind of sound, because it gives a sort of thudding quality to when I play. What basically happens,
I just have
is,
to know, is that contracted? Like, somewhere in the contract does that say that?
We're it's all covered.
Okay.
Contracts, sealed deals.
Yeah.
I will be there.
No, but what was in the contract?
No ties.
Joe, what was in the contract was a long rider about all the different kinds of buckets and cans and jars that Colin needs to hit in the second half of the piece. And then I was told by Janine, our orchestra manager, that when Colin got here yesterday, he ended up tossing out a lot of those buckets and just taking buckets from backstage at the Palace because they had better resonance. So is that true?
That's exactly true. Yeah, the opening symphony
garbage cans and
kindly
purchased and great.
In great detail, went after this bucket that I suggested they might obtain for me. It's a sort of a very Breaking Bad plastic barrel, if you like.
Okay.
But I felt that it didn't quite have the bass tone required, and I spotted this just gray trash can sitting there backstage. And I thought, oh, that looks good. So I took out the black bag, upturned it, and played on the bottom,
and that worked.
It had this wonderful bass tone, so that I'm afraid that's what we're doing. But you get
as
to keep
long
your
as you're happy.
You get to keep your Chemical Hazard blue Breaking Bad barrels
for a less great percussion.
That's right. A little crystal meth is a fundraiser for the future. Good for
so
you.
So also, yeah, there's a bit of upscaling, of upcycling, I should say.
Yes.
So anybody who's interested in the environment, we are upcycling the materials. Right?
The idea of this of Rise and Fly as a concerto. So just talk a little bit about that of how that is defined.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good question because concertos are interesting beasts. I mean, obviously they've been approached in different ways, but I wanted it to both showcase Colin, give him his kind of very intimate moment of playing by himself, but also to really bind him to the orchestra. So by the time he's reached the street percussion in the second half, he's their drummer, basically. So it's not, I guess I've shied away for or kind of moved away from the idea that the orchestra is an accompanying element. Their sound is really important in this piece. What we get out of them, there actually are moments where the trombones have a lot of freedom and they're kind of wildly yelping, or however you want to describe it, there's a kind of instruction for what they're doing, yeah. And adding this.
David
this
used the word wailing.
Wailing. Wailing is good, yes. They are, vocalizing, I guess, in a certain sense. And I really wanted Colin to be, like I said, at times exposed, but at other times right in the middle of the orchestra. And that I'm excited that happened. And I really feel like they're a band, and it's not something up front or behind.
And the sonic landscape is really beautiful and arresting, and he does these kind of rain things on his chest that are sort of responded to by the orchestra, and there's an incredible sense of R sort of amplifying what he does at various points in the piece. So it's a beautiful sonic, I mean, it's not, Julie's not new agey, I mean, I think sometimes she's described as post-minimalist, but it does have this kind of beautiful atmosphere,
yeah.
You know, if you know Brian Eno's music or sort of atmospheric music, it's got wonderful atmosphere.
So in the few minutes that we have left, Maestro, please tell us how this fits into the other two pieces. So this is where I said, speaking of Mendelssohn.
Well, right. Well, I think it really started with Julie's piece when we began planning the program, that we knew we wanted to do this piece. Colin had signaled to me that he'd done it in the UK and it was a great success, but it didn't have a US premiere. We haven't done Julie's music, even though she's an old friend of mine and a wonderful composer who's, you know, very often in this area because she's one of the founders of Bangle & Cannon, runs Banglewood at MassMocha every summer. So I wanted to feature her, and she's a wonderful composer. So it was a great opportunity to do that. So we had that piece first, and I thought, well, what do you put around such an unusual, original, unique kind of piece? And I thought about Colin, and I thought, well, Colin's such a wonderfully interesting Scottish person, and I love the Mendelssohn Scottish Symphony, which is this incredible homage to Scotland, and you know, based on his trips. You know, Mendelssohn in his short life, 38 years, went to England 10 times and went to Scotland at least twice, and really loved it, and paints this unbelievably gorgeous picture. I was going to say, you know, even though the euro's falling right now, and I know we're all planning our trips to Europe, we probably aren't planning to be in Scotland in the next month to three. So this is a great chance to go to Scotland without actually having to lay out that kind of money. You can just come to the symphony and experience Scotland the way Mendelssohn did. And then the beginning piece is this great Scottish piece by Peter Maxwell Davies, who's actually English but has some Scottish ancestry, but he's lived on this little tiny island, one of the Orkney Islands, way up in the north, off the north of Scotland. And this is a really, as he describes it, a picture postcard of an Orkney wedding with all these wonderful folk tunes, and it ends with this wonderful bagpiper marching down the aisle. So it just seemed to me to be a great eclectic but at the same time unified program.
with an Orkney wedding with Sunrise.
With Sunrise. Well, that's the bagpiper.
Yes,
Sunrise.
Yes.
The band gets very drunk, and then Sunrise comes, and the bagpiper takes over.
The Albany Symphony's All Scottish Concert is this Saturday. That's tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Palace Theater in Albany. For more information, you can visit albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. David Alan Miller, Julia Wolfe, and the wonderfully interesting Scottish person that is Colin Curry.
Well, not all Scottish, but pretty much all Scottish. Julie's not Scottish.
A great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
very
Joe.
Nice to have you here. You're listening to, again, find out more, albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.